time to do Rostermania. Basically, what we do is we go through and we look at each transfer and we rate and rank the transfers that were good using a scale that I'll explain in just a moment. Now, first of all, I'm going to explain that this wasn't a great Rostermania. We can all agree on that, right? We were sat eagerly expecting in a post-Budapest landscape that some of the big boys were going to make roster moves. I mean, after all, even though we got seven out of the top eight go to the playoffs, there were still loads of teams that needed to make obvious moves if they wanted to improve and challenge the likes of Vitality, etc. None of those came to pass, and we'll talk about some of the big ones right at the end when we talk about what has happened. But this rarely happens. It was so poor a Rostermania. My good friend and former colleague, well, he's still a colleague, I suppose, but former co-worker, Mira, over at HLTV, wrote an article about it. It's a very interesting read. I do recommend, if you're interested in it, and some of the near misses and things that didn't happen in this transfer season, do recommend that you go over and read it, because ultimately it highlights there were a number of big transfers available that sort of didn't really go ahead, and we're all kind of left scratching our heads as to why, which isn't to say there weren't some bright spots and there weren't some exciting transfers and weren't some exciting roster moves, but ultimately, yeah, it certainly could have been a lot better. And overall, in terms of ranking a Rostermania, I want to say probably it's even more disappointing than the disappointing one we got after Shanghai, where it was very similar. A lot of people were talking a good game about how they were going to make all these roster moves, and then it just never happened. And, you know, there was one or two, and yeah, and that was that. We can talk about the wisdom of that. I mean, obviously, it would be remiss of me not to point out one of the key things is now with the way VRS works, you want to keep your cores together. You can't just flippantly let one or two players go and bring other people in. Similarly, if you're a new organization, say like 100 Thieves, you're presented with a choice, aren't you? And the choice is, do I buy a core so I can already get invites, like Falcons has cynically exploited in the past by buying cores that they don't really want just to get the invites, and then so they can rebuild piece by piece using all their infinite money glitch. Do you want to do that, or do you want to do it the hard way? Build a team that might be better synergistically, but it might take a much longer time to get invited to the top tier tournaments. Very tough. On top of that, we've got a number of regions that have pretty inaccessible buyouts. Every season, Brazil faces this problem. For years, even after the great golden Brazilian lineup of Fallen and friends was sort of being recycled, there was five Brazilian players you could have put together to make one of the best teams in the world. It never happened, and it never happened because it was too expensive to make it happen, and there wasn't any Brazilian organization that had the money. Even ones that do have money, like Furia, can't really stretch to some of the outlandish buyouts where, for very mediocre players, you're talking close to $1 million, and for actual star players, well in excess of $1 million, getting closer to two. So Brazil have always been hampered, and just in general now, if you look at what the standard contract is for a high-level Tier 1 esports pro in CS, I should stipulate, it's a two-year contract. It's a two-year contract with a salary cut if you go onto the bench and a really high buyout that maintains its value even as your contract dwindles down. And so this is how you get things like, you know, ROPs going for free and et cetera, et cetera. People will let those contracts run down rather than have the buyouts, and then it's at the behest of the player which organization they sign to. And that's pretty much where it's at. And so, yeah, a lot of people, particularly in this economy, this esports economy, they are reticent to pay a lot of money for a star player because, you know, ultimately, you know, we can wait a little bit, and as long as we get in their ear and court them, maybe they'll come anyway. And also, we're still at the start of a game. CS2, You might have heard a little thing or two about it. We're still really at the start of the game. And to be honest, for every experienced pro that I can pay $1 million for, there's probably some cracked fucking 16-year-old out there that I could get and develop as a talent that maybe by the time they're 18 is actually more talented than the pro I would now be stuck with, and I'd be out $1 million. We are seeing a lot of young players coming through. It's not just like one or two. It's not like Donk's an anomaly because he's a young player. I mean, he is the fucking best player in the world. But, you know, we've obviously had lots and lots and lots of younger players coming through. And I think that's the best thing about where we're at with CS2 Esports. We are getting a real changing of the guard that's happening before our eyes. So, again, if I can develop talent and thug it out for a year, why the fuck would I pay $1 million for a player that's going to give me instant success, but maybe a lower overall ceiling? So that's kind of where we're at. So I thought this was interesting that Mira wrote about this. Again, I do urge go and read it. It's also got some clips from the most recent HLTV Confirmed, where he was talking about, you know, the market is crazy. In fact, you probably they won't mind if I play this for you.
So there have been some changes of teams who are trying to gear up, obviously, to take you boys down. And I was just talking to Mira and Strike before, and I was like, are there any more changes? Like, is there anything else that we... So is everything done? Everything is done and settled?
I think for the most part, I think we were also very late in the off-season,
okay,
right?
Okay, with these
about
changes?
To start, right? So I think we're pretty much done, right?
Okay, so no Mal's change?
No.
Even though
no.
We heard something about Jimmy early?
No.
So many teams wanted to change, I guess,
yeah,
but they couldn't?
Yeah, yeah.
And the market is crazy as well, like the prices... What the fuck is going on? No, but like CS doesn't... We don't make enough money to do those changes. Yeah. Orgs are crazy with prices.
Yeah.
So I think that's also why we didn't hear Navi doing a change, I guess. Yeah. No Mouse as well that wanted to do a change, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and it ended up being quite underwhelming in the end.
Yeah.
Even during the major, I was hearing a lot of rumors that a lot of teams wanted to make changes. And
it goes on to say a lot of them made genuine approaches, but this year it wasn't so much. So anyway, probably there is a genuine problem with the pricing in the market as well. And realistically, there are maybe two organizations that can afford to pay stupid money for players. We all know one of them is Falcons. And ultimately, Falcons, and I'll talk about this right at the end of the stream, one of the best things to happen this Roster Mania is we fucking did it, community. After the whole fucking 2 years or whatever it's been of, please, bro, just one more superstar, bro. Munacy even made that reference during the HLTV Awards. We've gaslit Falcons into thinking they don't need to make a signing. This time they do. It's abundantly clear they do. They do need one more superstar, bro. And instead, they're going to try and do another season with this team that's consistently failed. And I couldn't be happier. But anyway, I'll talk about that right at the end. Anyway, for now, let's tell you about the super important to know Rostermania scale, the official Rostermania scale that we use over in these parts. Because again, it's always someone's first experience of Richard Lewis's content. So this is my scale. Right, it starts with two thumbs up. This is two thumbs up is the best. If you get two thumbs up, that is a wicked signing. That is a good move. Typically, to achieve a two thumbs up, all parties have to have somehow benefited. One thumbs up is it's obviously a good move, typically an obvious roster move, one where you're getting some star quality or you're filling a position or, you know, whatever it might be. Shaky hand means I don't really want to call it. It's a little bit dubious, but it could go either way. One thumb down, as you would expect, is this is a bad signing. Definitely didn't need to happen, or it's a downgrade. Two thumbs down is what the fuck is you thinking with this move? And then we do also have the worst possible, the dreaded Overwatch fart. Just horrible, wet fart, borderline shart. Coming out of an Overwatch cosplayer's rectum. And that is as bad as it gets. That's just the unless you are an Overwatch freak, in which case you probably love that stuff. But it is it's just diabolical. It shouldn't have happened. And it's an abomination that it has happened. So that's the scale, right? That's what we're working with here. And with that now hammered into your brains, that wonderful imagery, let's do it. Let's start with the first removals that came in. Obviously, Payne are one of those teams where we've seen a lot of Payne at these big events. And I think they've been a team that's, in its own way, kind of underachieved. They've had the presence, they've had the opportunities, they've got talent on the roster, they've got the support, they're getting to these events quite regularly, coming through regionals relatively unscathed. And yet what we've seen from Payne is typically they disappoint when it gets to the final hard yards or making playoffs or when they play those much, much bigger opponents. And I think that's a shame because I look at this roster and for me it's a roster that I think is definitely it's got opportunities to do well. Like Bigger Zera fragging IGL, still only 28 and always seems to do well and has those games that not a lot of IGLs do, where you know you take over a game, particularly on Nuke, which seems to be a favored map and a favored map of his and a favored map of his teams. Obviously NQZ, you know, I think overall, right up there with the AWPers. I mean, you know, it's a weird time for them at the moment. You've got the obviously young talent Snow, who maybe hasn't shown all that he can do, but definitely is like a very talented player who I think is eventually going to get to his ceiling. And obviously, they decided to remove the two non-Brazilians, which if you look at the ratings, DGT was the second highest performer at Budapest. He was the guy that was like actually doing well in Payne, apart from Bigger Zera. Davideus, on the other hand, he has been decent overall, but I think when he first came into the team, had a pretty high, like announced himself pretty well and had a pretty high ceiling initially, kind of tapered off. And then at Budapest, it was pretty bad. And you can see here in Budapest, he only averaged a 0.85 rating. And look, when you need to make roster moves, sometimes it is about form. It's not just about what you did over a year. It's about, are you in a slump now? You know, are you bad now? Brokey, of course, is the inverse of this. Turns up for the major playoffs, does fuck all for the rest of the year. Six more months for you, Mr. Zielinski. So it's crazy to me to sort of see people make these decisions sometimes based on short-term stuff. But if you need to make changes, what, and you haven't got anything else to base it on, what else can you base it on? And so Davideus is out. DGT is out. And I have to say, look, Payne had to do something. And for me, they've kept the core that is the best part of Payne. Those are the two players that, for me, even after DGT's performance in Budapest, would have been on the chopping block probably, particularly if it's possible to pick up some decent Brazilian players, which we'll get to. Obviously, they did. So for me, just the removal of these two people alone, I am going to give it one thumbs up. It is certainly a thumbs up for the Davideus removal. It could be shaky hand for DGT, but a thumbs up overall. Next, it seems like we've already talked about this because it happened so long ago, but we must talk about this. Ash stepping down from Gamer Legion due to what he said, burnout. And I don't know if people seem to remember this, but I don't know if they do or if they don't. But during the major, there was this weird moment. I think it was during one of the losers interviews or the exit interviews after they'd lost the game, where he like kind of like just, I don't want to say stormed off stage, but he left the stage abruptly and he looked a bit emotional and a bit angry. And I thought, like, yeah, that's a bit weird. It's not like Ash, you know. I don't know Ash particularly well, but I've had the pleasure of talking to him at a number of events now since his Gamer Legion have been at more and more events thanks to their performances. And honestly, I've got to say I am sad to see him stand down. And I hope two things. I hope either he returns and he gets a good coaching gig because he deserves it, or he decides, you know what, I can go all in on being an analyst. This is the guy you want in a Mahone zone. This is the guy that can do that weatherman, stupid name, kind of analysis, do it quickly, do it on the fly, and do it with genuine charisma and engagement. How do I know that? I've seen his YouTube content. I mean, he could be a straight analyst because he can like banter with us on the desk, but I feel like getting Ash in for a few segments, you know, I would strongly recommend ESL. I know you watch my stuff. why don't you give that a try? Why don't you give, you know, put that forward? Because ultimately, whatever you think of the Mahone zone, the Mahone zone for me was way too dry and not what fans actually want. People love to pretend that that's what they want. It isn't what they want. It's never what they want. They just pay lip service to it. No one actually watches it. Whereas I think Ash has a level of charisma and delivery, and obviously being a YouTuber, similar to Vu, you know, when we brought Vu in on the Blast Desks, these guys know how to talk to a camera and make their content engaging because that's what they do. And so I would certainly like to see Ash included in a broadcast in some capacity in the future if that's the direction he wants to go. Now, just before we talk about what this means for Gamer Legion, to talk about Ash for a moment, Reddit once again has made a fucking absolute just pure knobheadery of themselves. Just completely ridiculous. Ash went from being a respected coach that had done really, really well with a team that had, you know, no star players really, and a lot of unknown and inexperienced players, an inexperienced IGL at one point as well. And a lot of people felt that Ash was the guy that were giving them the tactical framework that was enabling them to succeed. Then he had to replace an AWPer, and he did, and it didn't go well. And then they had to replace that AWPer, and that didn't go well. And then all of a sudden the team started, you know, crumbling a little bit, and everyone turned around and said, Ash was a fraud. Ash is a dog shit coach. Ash is bad. Ash this, Ash that. And it's no wonder he fucking turned around and said, fuck all of this. It's so stupid that a 180 has been done. Meanwhile, Zonic, who has won nothing except PGL Bucharest in all of CS2 with an unlimited checkbook and three different lineups, including players in the top five of the world, you can't criticize him, apparently. You're an idiot if you suggest he might not have got a handle on the differences of CS2. Meanwhile, people were super quick to turn on Ash. Like, just actual fucking, just completely ridiculous. So to this point, I am saddened to see him stand down. And I think it is bad for Gamer Legion overall. I think he's like a very tough guy to replace. I think he's supremely talented. He knows the game. He's a great coach. He's really good at interacting with players. Up until this point, his temperament has been unquestionable, considering the abuse and the stress he's been under. And I hope that he comes back rejuvenated after a break. This is bad for Gamer Legion. So it's like, as far as I'm concerned, it's two thumbs down for them. But, you know, if Ash comes back and he's better and he slots straight back in, two thumbs up for him and his mental health. But, yeah, Reddit's about turn on Ash. Completely ridiculous. NIP, they benched you jerks. And I've said this before, I do not like NIP, the organization. They've still got the same old scumbags working for them. Not all of them. Some scumbags have gone, but some scumbags remain. Such is life. They have some good people working for them too. People I like. One of the most slept on coaches in the scene exists, by the way. He's a really good coach, and he never seems to get plaudits for it. He just does his job quietly in the background. I love what they've done with this lineup. I think the S. Kaspersky pickup is unbelievable. I think he's an outrageous talent, and he's destined to play on a better team than this one. Shush has been in career high. Wrinkle, up and down, but I still like him. Snappy, I think, is an underrated IGL. And so where was the weak link on this team? Obviously, you jerks had really been struggling at some of the bigger events. And ultimately, I just think, you know, those Saw players, they were a gamble anyway to begin with. I think a lot of people were kind of, yeah, if it works, it works, but whatever. And Nip rolled the dice on him. It didn't work out. They benched him. That's a thumbs up. It had to happen, really, and it's just one of those. I mean, you know, I'm saying youngster. I mean, he is 25, so what's the upside to hoping he's suddenly going to turn it all around? Because obviously the slightly younger of the two, Arozdoz, was also a bit of a disappointment. Anyway, that's that. We go over to China, and we got Rare Atom. They have signed a 18-year-old prospect that they've been scouting for a while. Remember, Rare Atom were playing with a 32-year-old stand-in for a period of time, a player called Marek. And then anyway, they've let him go, and now they've brought in Chen King, who was actually registered as a substitute for the major, but he is now officially in, and you're going to get to see his debut very soon, I believe, if it hasn't already occurred. You can see here what their lineup looks like now, and I've always got a soft spot for the Chinese teams. I like the way that the Chinese teams approach Counter-Strike. It's different. It's interesting. I think they've got like really good young prospects breaking through in China right now. And that's actually a miracle. If you remember, the Chinese laws that were around gaming were if you were under 18, you could only play on weekends. They were using like facial recognition technology to log into your accounts and stuff. It was getting pretty hairy. It was a big talking point over in Dota about what's going to happen to all the Chinese Dota players if this is going to be something that happens moving forward. But ultimately, people have endured. We've still got young prospects coming through across the board in esports, which is great for the Chinese scene, great for the global scene. And by all accounts, Chen King is meant to be one of them. Obviously, playing for Feng Da, you probably haven't seen a lot of him unless you're like some degenerate better betting on late night tier 3 Chinese CS games. Don't worry, many such cases. But this kid looks like a prospect, obviously. You know, there's something there. And at 18, moving into a team like Rare Atom that very often come through the Asian qualifiers, the regional qualifiers, they can get to some big events. So definitely want to watch. Again, a thumbs up. It's not setting anything on fire, but it was a very good move. ZTR. Wow. This was a strange one. I was genuinely surprised by this. I thought Gamer Legion were pretty solid as a roster. The one I was worried about was maybe PR going and whether or not they'd be able to hold on to him. But instead, we had ZTR stepping down. And you can see here in the report, he'd been there a year and a half. Sure, they had a tough time towards the end of the year. But I thought ZTR was really looking like a decent young IGL. I mean, obviously came in from Metasport, was part of the Gamer Legion team that broke into the top 10, had some disappointing finishes, but had some very good individual results, even among the disappointing finishes that they had. And ultimately, yeah, after a year and a half, he was benched. So was very perplexed about that one. I think ZTR has still got a lot to offer in terms of being an IGL, not just a player. I mean, specifically in the IGL role, I think he was really starting to impress me in certain areas of how he was handling things, particularly that off-the-server maturity that he has and being very good at interacting with his team. So I don't like this at all. This is a thumbs down. This is definitely a thumbs down. I think it's very much Gamer Legion's loss. And when you consider, you know, oh, the coach is out, the IGL is out, that tactical continuity all of a sudden is starting to fall apart. And one thing I'll say about Gamer Legion, I don't think it was tactics that were letting them down. I think it was, you know, individual performances. I think it was putting up the numbers and winning the duels. It was the bare bones of Counter-Strike that they were struggling with. So, yeah. And then, of course, Kanai has new contract, says Mr. Snacks. He's the replacement for ZTR. I don't know what to say about this one. Let's be clear. I like Snacks. I mean, obviously, lol, that's a joke about me being overweight. But I mean, I like the guy. I think he's like, he's just a super cool, chill dude, if you know him in real life. Didn't have it as an IGL, my opinion. I think his previous times of being an IGL on Gamer Legion didn't impress me. I don't think he should have ever had the G2 IGL job. I don't even know how. I mean, we can all laugh at what's happened to Shuhei since he gone to Team Liquid. I still think the alternate timeline, G2 gets Shuhei and Shuhei's winning trophies with G2. I think that's how that one goes. Instead, he's in Team Liquid hell. That's just that. Snacks coming back to be made an IGL again is crazy. ZTR for me was a clear upgrade in terms of being an IGL and had more interesting tactical ideas and also didn't have the baggage of having just flopped as an IGL at his previous team. So, I don't know. maybe I'm missing something, but I was very surprised by this. During his previous stint with Gaming Legion, he was replaced by ZTR, with the organization now reversing the decision by snapping up the out-of-contract IGL. The poll will aim to stabilize a team whose form's deteriorated in recent months, slipping from the VRS top 10 to 25th overall after a run of disappointing performances, including an early exit at the Budapest Major Stage 1. For me, rating this, it's a thumbs down for me, guys. I think if you combine it with ZTR, that makes two thumbs down. I'm really shocked at this, and I don't see the upside, but maybe there's something the organization knows about Snacks, and maybe the players vibe with him in a way. I don't know, but this is, it feels like a big step back for the organization, almost like a concession. We're no longer with the big boys. We're no longer really being competitive in that regard. It's barely worth talking about them at the moment, but you'll see why as well. We sort of have to. But this was BC Game. BC Game had become this weird sort of retirement home for all the cast-off players that I feel had come through, like the OGs and all these other teams. Nexa has had a very rough time. Obviously, the G2 spell was really bad for him, made all the worse by the fact that he replaced Reddit's favorite player, JKS. That smile, that damn smile, that damn smile. And so obviously his failure was one that had to be highlighted at every single turn, the pressure he was under just because he was replacing JKS and playing for G2, I guess, was ridiculous. And he tried to be an anchor, something he couldn't do. And ultimately, he was cast out, and yeah, he ended up at BC Game, but never really got a shot at being in the big BC Game. BC Game obviously are looking to get to Tier 1 events. They're spending money. It's where Simple is playing Dota 2 for them right now. So he probably does play CS occasionally. And obviously, they've got Electronic in there now, which is a terrible thing for anyone. You look at the roster that they had now, it was Kakanito, Andu, Nexa. It wasn't a very ambitious roster. That said, what comes next? Even more horrifying. But yeah, Nexa wasn't really doing it. Electronic came in. If anything, it's a thumbs up for Nexa because he's blessed without having to listen to that and deal with that shit. But ultimately, just, I don't know, it's a shaky hand. If you have no intention of replacing these players with players of better ability, then what are we really doing here? And I think Nex has been very unfairly maligned by the community. He's 28. He's still got time to get on a decent team and have one last hurrah before he retires. I hope it happens. But yeah, this is just them. Also in BC Game, Emi, the Serbian coach, gone. Emi's a cool guy. Do like Emi. Think he's one of those guys who a lot of people probably don't know how good he is at his job and don't have respect for him on that basis. But he is a fucking decent coach, knows what he's talking about, knows the game. Again, very good at handling players and handling people and the more personal side of what being a coach and being a support staff member entails. But BC Game have said, look, you're out. And again, if you look at the bench, BC Game, they're really setting fire to a lot of money because Nexa wasn't there for a long time. They never played in any top-tier events with Nexa. Emi wasn't there for a long time. He never coached at any top-tier events with this lineup. They never got to any. Jacob, because of his own ridiculous can-I-has gambling money addiction, is benched because how can you represent a gambling company? Should be fired, by the way. Still drawing a salary. That's outrageous. Prime Taps, just benched. Just like, hey, we've got Prime Taps. Oh, wait, we don't. Bye. Electronics here. Bye. See you, Prime Taps. So they've cycled through a ton of players already. More, as we'll get to. And ultimately, haven't done anything. Haven't been at any big events. Haven't had, like, the upsets and stuff. So I don't know, man. It's like right now, it just feels like it's the fucking Simple incubator and we're all just hoping and praying they can put something around him that's going to get him back to a tier one event so we all get to see him play at the highest level again one more time, it feels like, at this stage. But ultimately, BC Game just burning through the cash. This was another one that surprised me. Hexed being out at M80. Obviously, if you watched my recent Esports Manager 2026 stream, where I was Chad Maui Snake, that's Mr. Snake, to you. I like M80. I like M80 as a team. I like M80 as a brand. I think they're one of the best modern brands. Like, a lot of the modern brands are dog shit, let's be real, with dog shit logos and dog shit themes. And M80 replaced Hext. And I'm like, wait, first of all, he's only just got there. He'd only been there 6 months. But then look at this. He'd had his best run of form. Like, it felt like he was having his career best form. Like, look at this. He averaged a 1.16 rating over 122 maps. When have you been able to say that about Hext? For fuck's sake. They also, look, they won a knockout LAN to qualify for ESL. We've just seen them at Flom's LAN as well. Obviously, sans Hext. It's sad. You know, I was just coming around on Hext. Obviously, you know, I like the roster that they had. But yeah, kind of wild to see. He obviously didn't see it coming either. He said, safe to say, I was a little surprised when I was told I wouldn't be rejoining them for next season. But nonetheless, I love playing with the guys, and they were some of my most favourite teammates to play with. He said, I am now a free agent. I'm going to just say shaky hand on this one. It can go either way. Hext is like, you know, usually his standard level isn't all that exciting. But in M80, they just seem to bring something out of him where he was actually playing well. And then you cut him. Seems cruel. Immediately, M80 were linked with Jaber. Now, as you know, myself, Dust, Davey, all the No Majors Club guys, when we're doing the streams, we talk about NA a lot. We still treat them as if they're irrelevant part of the world in Counter-Strike terms, when, of course, they're not. But we've talked a lot about, like, where is the NA talent? And there really isn't a lot of it. We've got that running meme about peeping. We've even got an emote dedicated to it because Dust loves peeping. We all know that. But, I mean, he has got a point about peeping being a potentially good player. But obviously as well, Jaber was the other guy. Jaber was the other guy where we were like, oh, you know, maybe he might go to a Complexity or something like that once upon a time. It says here, obviously, Jaber is about to be unveiled. The 21-year-old rifler will be taking over Hext. Jaber has been on the sidelines since wildcard transfer listed and benched the entirety of its roster in November following a tumultuous 2025. That's putting it nicely. Let's be clear. The team imploded. Arguments with owners. Allegations that the team was being selected by ChatGPT. Wildcard it wasn't just tumultuous. It was fucking insane, as Kassad might say. That was the 2025 that they had. But he had a 1.13 rating. And remember, that 1.13 rating, unlike Hext, does include some pretty, you know, high-level tournaments. He broke his major ducks. You know, he was at Shanghai and Austin. So, okay, yeah, Jaber in. Fair enough. A thumbs up. I am a fan. Sad to see Hext go, but it's hard to argue. It isn't a step in the right direction because ultimately I think his skill ceiling is higher. He's younger. I think he's just a better player on average than Hext is, even though right now Hext was in career best form. It's one of those problems you have to come up against sometimes. For me, Wildcard have just massively shit the bed on letting this kid go. I don't know why. I thought the whole point was to keep him and rebuild around him. But Jaber to M80, great move. Thumbs up, maybe two thumbs up, honestly. Meanwhile, the drama continued at BC game. Another person out. This time, Kakanito. One of the rarest of things, a Macedonian Counter-Strike professional player. You don't get many of them for the pound. And ultimately, Kakanito was never meant to be back in the roster anyway, I don't think. I think he was the guy that came back when Jacob had to bow out because of his personal problems. You can see here he averaged a 1.00 rating, technically below average with the new rating, as I understand it, across 228 maps, whatever. So just another player, just another pair of hands. Not a surprise to see him benched. Okay, BC game. Surely you're going to surprise me by pulling out an unbelievable core. That's what you're going to do, right? That's definitely coming. Let's see what happens. Now, one that gave me orgasmic bliss for how I hate them so. Oh, yes. Had to smoke a cigarette after I read this headline for the first time. And then I read it again, and then I vomited, for I realized it was not all good. But yes, Spirit benched Chopper and benched Zwei. Now, Chopper has been a fucking criminal for all of the tenure they've had Donk, basically. It's got to be said. Forget the low levels of individual performance, and it's mental that more people seem to be critical of Carrigan having a low scoreline than Chopper ever. And if you go look at the numbers, Chopper had some absolute fucking nightmare games, right? Now, here's the thing, and I've applied this to Falcons, I applied this to FaZe back when they had the super team. If you've got the best player in the fucking world, I applied it to Na'Vi. It was what I was saying about Blade when Gambit in the online era were fucking battering Na'Vi every time they played them. If you've got the best player in the world, the inarguably best player in the world, you have got to win trophies. You don't have to win them all, but you've got to win a few. You've got to win more than one. You've got a challenge for the major. You've got to be doing that. All of the problems in that Spirit roster got papered over when they won Shanghai. And let's not forget, they won Shanghai because of a Magic's life game. And we had to all deal with the worst post-tournament segment ever in the history of Counter-Strike. I love you, Overdrive. Please accept this gift from our glorious Chinese hosts. I am Donk. I don't care. No, please just accept the gift and sign it. That'd be really cool. I don't care. It was fucking diabolical. But it papered over the cracks in that roster. They were allowed to go into this year. And what do they do this year in 25? Not much. Some of the calls, appalling. Some of the individual moments, appalling. Remember that bit down on Nuke where Chopper's just a guy there? And it's just like, hello? Crazy. All the while, Donk is in a period of his life, by the way. He's not going to be in for much longer. 20, 21-year-old Donk is completely different to 17, 18-year-old Donk. Your priorities change, your interests change, your discipline changes. Right now, he can be a sweaty little gremlin, smoking away, playing fucking video games all day, playing 14 hours of Face It all day. The only person in the world with a red medal. He can be that guy. Maybe he can't in a couple of years. And what does that do? Hey, you've still probably got one of the best players in the world, but the best player in the world doesn't stay the best player in the world forever. And so you've got to make hay while the sun shines. Chopper said, nah, fuck that. I'm just going to call the most bland, ordinary tactics. And in a mid-round, if Donk digs us out of a hole, cool. Not to mention, Shiro's had to evolve his game. I'll give him a lot of credit. I thought he used to play like a pussy 2 years back. You look at him now, he's actually having to be a bit more dynamic around the map, because otherwise, nothing is going to happen. You are literally putting it all on Donk. Spirit were embarrassingly one-sided. Let's also talk about how Zwei got on that team. What had Zwei done, really, to get airlifted into Spirit? He had one decent tournament where he punched well above his weight. Oh, and what was that? Donk in that fucking thing they do on HLTV, where the pros say, oh, this player's going to be amazing because they are my friend and I queue with them in Face It. He did that, didn't he? And so Zwei was like, just right, we've got to keep Donk happy under all fucking... Donk keeps saying he can't do it with Chopper anymore and he's sad that Magix is out of the team. So we've got to bring his friend in. We've got to bring his friend in. And other than what he did at the Major and the fucking insane performance against Falcons, Zwei was never it on the team. He looked nervous. He looked bad. And of course, we had that whole thing as well about Zwei where, let's just bring up this fucking drama because it'll pad the video out real nice. When Mikaze came through at Na'Vi, which I'll admit was a surprise, Zwei had said, Mikaze will be kicked from Na'Vi in half a year. And of course, listen, kid, take it from a fucking veteran. You got to be careful what you say on fucking social media. You got to be careful what you say on social media. It can come back to haunt you, right? Some tweets, some quotes, some moments in your life do be like Rasputin, unkillable, right? So you have to deal with that shit. He said that. Then, of course, Mikaze is still in Na'Vi. Zwei has been benched himself. And on the day the news was announced, Mikaze did a little shock. I think that's a shock face. And you know what? I wouldn't have been as gracious as this. So fair enough. He's done a, oh, fair dues. Anyway, Zwei showing his kind of like immaturity and inability to like handle the spotlight. Someone's got to help this fucking kid out, right? Because he's been brought into a big team, flopped. He's going to be playing in another kind of big team. We'll get to that. So he hasn't gone anywhere. And he's getting called out because he's saying shit on social media. You just don't need to say any of this shit. You don't need to say a player's going to get dropped. You don't need to say it. You just don't need to as a pro. Just let him do his thing. But he said to all the haters, I love it, by the way, whenever you come out and you address all of the haters. To all the haters who was laughing at my words about Mikaze, when I said it on Strogo's stream, I wasn't talking about his mechanical or individual skills, and I can't argue with anyone who says that he is better than me or something like that. I was talking only about his past, when he was radar hacking, and it was actually confirmed information, his teammates or himself, I don't care, the same thing. And in this way, I will never forgive such people who ruined someone's careers because of it and won games that he shouldn't win. The way I told about this problem maybe wasn't the best, but it seemed easiest to me at that moment. Stop laughing at these M-tree words. This is a mess. Just take it on the chin. All he did was a little shock face and just walk away. You've turned around and gone, oh, he's a good player, but he radar hacks. That's worse, bro. That's fucking worse. That's just mental. That's just a crazy thing to say. And also, it's definitely not been confirmed. I would know if it was confirmed. Has it been confirmed? I don't think it has been confirmed. Pretty sure as well, if you're confirmed with radar hacking, even by now, ESIC would have dunked on you and you would have been bad. You would have been banned, rather. What a mad thing to say. Now, by the way, you're going to have to go to tournaments and compete against a player you've said is a cheater, but might not be a cheater because it might be his teammates who are cheaters, but whatever, it's all the same. So I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this was poorly handled. So let's get back to the other part of the roster move. For when people leave, people return. And indeed, return is Zontix and Magix, but this time, Magix is the IGL because Donk likes his vibes and thinks he's funny. That's how we're making decisions over in Spirit these days. And Zontix brought back, oh, my stoic Giga Chad. Oh, yes, the Chinese ladies love him. He is the greatest. I love him. By the way, there was after it was announced he returned, tons of Reddit threads talking about how actually Zontix was good, actually. Less so when you were calling for him to be dropped, of course. Here's the reality. You cut these players because they weren't good enough. You're bringing them back now? For what? Well, you know the answer. Spirit is becoming what Liquid became at the end. Liquid was Elysian friends, and you don't play for Liquid unless Elige likes you. And if Elige doesn't like you while you play for Liquid, you're going to get cut before Elige. Until Liquid couldn't do that anymore because it wasn't sustainable, and even Joker Steve had to make the tough decision. And then by the time they did it, yeah. Look at this. Zontix took a break. You people will buy bridges. You people probably have bought bridges, haven't you? He took a break. He had health issues. He had visa issues. None of you can even get your story straight. He was dropped, guys. Simple as that. He was dropped so Spirit could maybe develop some players, safe in the knowledge that getting lucky twice was probably going to be too hard. That's the reality. If you believe the official versions, and then look, Zontix wasn't bad. Well, let's have a look at the stats. These changes were made to improve the team. I don't believe any of that bullshit about Zontix was having a break for a second. Zontix had a number of shit games. Magix had a number of shit games and would routinely, every 2 to 3 months, pull out a life game and just extend his contract. Now you're bringing him back to be an IGL, something he's never done because apparently he has vibes. So let me just tell you what's in store for Spirit in 2026. Donk is saying it's going to be their year. That's why he's not mad about not being number one. Spoiler, he's absolutely mad about not being number one. It's going to be the exact same. Somehow they've managed to neither upgrade nor downgrade. It's quite incredible. And unless Magix has been going to the technical fucking IGL school in his downtime. Spoiler, he hasn't. He's been on stream. He's been on everyone's streams playing game and trolling. Yeah, I mean, I don't see what we're going to get with him other than the fact he can never be as shit as Chopper individually. Tactically, it's conceivable he would be worse than Chopper. At least Chopper had tenure and experience and had like had deep runs with other teams, like going back to Vegas Squadron and stuff. But Chopper regularly goes 2 for fucking 16 in a game, doesn't he? So, you know, what can you do about that? That won't happen to Magic's, but the calls aren't going to be a million miles better. So for me, what they've done is, even if you agree it's a marginal upgrade because Chopper is out, and even if you agree Zontix is a marginal upgrade on Zwei, this is still really disappointing. And also, it does mean we have to listen to more Magic's interviews, which is going to make me smash my head off a wall until there's nothing left. Because the broadcasters, tournament organisers, seem to think it's fucking endearing when someone comes on and wastes everyone's time with shit answers and insulting the interviewers. So I would be just not bothering to interview this team and treat them like they don't exist and see how much they prefer that when part of going to their tournaments is a marketing exercise. But anyway, for me, nah, this ain't it. But we'll see how many tournaments they pick up. Don't be surprised if they only pick up 2 tournaments in 2026. I think there's definitely other teams I would be looking to that I think outside of the donk factor, Spirit don't impress me at all. So, shaky hand. That's what it gets. That's being generous. Here's the part where we talk about Falcons. Oh, how I laughed when I saw this. Also, shout out to the editors for putting in that. No more stars for Falcons. Lol, no more stars. Again, always funny that the Saudi Arabian CEO and definitely owner of Falcons is called Mossad. That will never not be funny. Sorry, guys. Call me juvenile, but whatever. I think that's hilarious. They took to X to deny the rumors that they were going to be buying new players. And guys, let's be real. They flopped at the major again. And how did they flop at the major again? Well, we had the Nico factor, and Tezzez didn't have a great time of it, did he? And let's be real, Tezzez was kind of, you know, not a square peg in a round hole, but like a square peg trying to be brutally pushed into the trapezoid hole, kind of. So this is the one time everyone would have gone, yeah, get more superstars. And there were more superstars out there. They were linked with Jimmy again. By the way, Jimmy's been super stagnant at Mouse this year. He went from being the star anchor, like the star anchor, the best anchor in the world, really. And he got his fucking contract. And then, yeah, he was average in there. And then they haven't done anything. Yeah. And the Brolan fucking honeymoon period wore off real quick, didn't it? And it's like, okay, Jimmy the Falcons. Jimmy for Tezzez. All right, then, yeah. Okay. It's controversial to say it. But Blame F just went to Big. Guys, are you telling me Blame F couldn't have improved Falcons? Of course he could have. But no. No, we're doing this, are we? And I think it's brilliant. I'm super happy. This is what Mossad had to say. Oh, I could do so many bits, but I'm not going to. Regarding CS rumours, there's no intention to change anyone, and we have full trust on our players and the staff. The rumours are untrue, and we have never had any intention of making changes. Like, never. No intention, not even for a second after you bounced out of another major. Won one trophy since you started this unbelievably expensive, stupid project. Apparently so. Falcons have fielded over 25 different players in the past 5 years and have made changes yearly since coming together in 2021. The organization won its first trophy in April of 2025, winning the PGL Studio event at Bucharest. And there it is. Don't believe everything you read. So probably what's likely is they, even Falcons, couldn't just... But remember, they're playing with house money. They don't really care. But remember when they got pissed off when Nico tried to hold them over a barrel? And they were like, Zonic came out and was like, we're not a retirement home, and we don't want people who want the bag. We want people who want to be here, and I'm the bag, you know? Right? Paraphrasing, of course. Remember that? Well, then they gave Nico the bag. And so maybe Jimmy tried to bag him again, or another player they talked to tried to bag him again, said, look, if I'm going to come and play for Falcons, I want Falcons money. Simple as that. But no, a successful gaslighting. Well done. For once, the CS community did something good. You gaslit Falcons. In fact, not gaslit. You used reverse psychology on Falcons, so now they won't make clear and necessary improvements to their team. And so we're going to get another 2026 of Falcons being close, but no fucking cigar. Yes, correct. The fucking CS community successfully ran a psyop on Mossad. That's your headline. We go back to NA, and this was a surprise for me. Exotic. Remember, NRG were like, look, we know he's a land dodger. We know he's a liar. We know there was that weird clip of that bug on an ESEA map, I think it was. And when we had to announce him, we had to announce him with a photo of a chair because no one had actually seen him. But in the end, Exotic came in to NRG and did well. He actually played well, made it to LAN, you know, and so he might have been a little shithouse in the past, but it doesn't matter, does it? But anyway, he had to go. And there he is. There's his stats looking up. And he said, look, I can't really play competitive Counter-Strike this frequently and run my businesses. Now, maybe he does run multiple businesses, maybe super busy. And look, I can say at 24, probably now, chasing the NA dream is as unappealing as it's ever been. Like, it really is. You slog and you slog and you slog and you slog, and then you get to fucking NRG. You know what I mean? And maybe one day you might play for Liquid. Maybe. But at 24, that's probably not going to happen. That door is closed. And so he's making a decision which is based on his work-life balance. I'll respect it. I think ultimately, Exotic just never was a new... He was never going to be a new talent. He was never going to commit for whatever reason. And you do get players like this. Remember, we had Joels in Finland quite famously. And, you know, I remember talking to Natu about him one time where they were trying to trial him. And he was like the kid wasn't a cheater. He just couldn't socially process being around people. The prospect to go into LAN terrified him because he would be around people. And, you know, he just couldn't do it. He was on the fucking spectrum or whatever, you know? And it's like, okay. For some people, you've got the talent on the server, but that's only part of it. The rest of it is how do you interact with people? The rest of it is how do you cope with anxiety and the stress of being a pro? And not everybody gets this. And by the way, it's not just like an esports thing. It's a fucking sports thing. You know, there's been so many good young footballers that have just been like a mess and not able to really get into the mindset you need to be a pro player. You know, Ravel Morrison at fucking Man United, always a great example. This is a guy who Sir Alex Ferguson said he was going to be the next Paul Gascoigne. That's how highly he was rated. And Ravel Morrison it turned out he did have attention deficit disorder, but he also had other problems. Like when he first moved to West Ham, I thought it was, he had to take time off because he needed surgery on his teeth because he was just drinking so much soda and not brushing his teeth. And his teeth were all rotting out of his skull. So he had to go get them all fucking replaced. Some people don't have it. And I'm not saying, you know, Zach is any of those things. I'm not saying he's a Ravel Morrison. But I'm saying for whatever reason, he just didn't have it. Or wasn't interested in it. And this is the right thing to do. Particularly as NRG are hanging in there. They're one of the last hopes of NA. And they're one of the few places NA players can go. So I respect his decision to stand down and not waste anyone's time anymore. OC coming back. OC is one of the great kind of like what ifs. You know, I think like OC and Kooster were those two like NA AWPers that we really, really, really wanted to do well on like a tier one team, and they just didn't quite have the juice. They just didn't quite have what it took to be there at the highest level. And, you know, NA AWPing, there's a lot of expectation there. You know, North American AWPing, it's kind of like a tradition. You know, it's kind of like being able to do stepovers if you're a Brazilian football player. If you're an NA AWPer, you are expected to hit outrageous flamboyant shots. Think about the lineage of NA AWPers all the way through 1.6 and Source and CSGO to where we are now. And unfortunately, there's not really anybody that, like, lives up to that legacy. And so I always felt a bit sorry for, like, these guys because they're coming in. I think there's a little bit more pressure on NA AWPers than there are on non-NA AWPers. They don't mind if you're a Euro AWPer and you play, like, a fucking, you know, you're a turret and you just play the angles. You don't have to be a Kenny S. You don't have to be mad flamboyant and crazy with it. But in NA, they expect something a little bit different. They want you to get a 3K every time you fucking, you know, click the scope. So it's tough. It's probably as good a replacement as NRG could have got on short notice. And he's someone who will know these players, someone that knows Nitro. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's a thumbs up, probably. Just not because it improves the team. I think Exotic probably had the higher ceiling and the higher potential, but just because Exotic, for whatever reason, didn't want to be a pro. Remember, the new development is I have decided in 2026 I am going to be a Mongols hater. I'm not a Mongols hater because I hate the players or I hate Mara or I hate the organization, nor do I hate Mongolia. I want to make that clear. Love that country. I just hate their fans. I hate their fans. I hate their neutral fans because they're just full of shit. When they won, what was that tournament they won? It was the fucking BetBoom Dacha, fucking Dacha tournament, right? When they won that, all of the Mongols, and it's not actually the Mongolian fans, it's the European and American fans that support Mongols. They all ran out and went, look, it's an S-tier, Yellow Compass, thank you. It's an S-tier event, they've won an S-tier event for the first time, an Asian team won an S-tier event. The only other team at that event was like Astralis and NIP. They won an S-tier, it was S-tier. People were making tweets comparing them to, like, We Made Fox in 1.6. Like, fuck off with all of that. No, they went on to win the Esports World Cup. They also won Thunderpick in Berlin in between. They did win tournaments, yes. Have they ever won anything I would consider to be big? I mean, the Esports World Cup, I suppose. It is just meant to be Falcons winning, but, you know, whatever. So, dealt with all of that. Then Senzu. Senzu's the best. It's like, why does he always go missing in playoffs, guys? Can't say that. He's young. They're young. That's it. They're young. You're picking on them and they're young. Yeah, but like, he's a pro player. Like, he's got to turn up at some point. Turns up one time in the playoffs, one time. See, he's got it. That's my player. Steps down in mysterious circumstances. Why did everyone forget that fucking Senzu scammed a bunch of skins? By the way, I got a YouTube video about it. Remember the big fraud scheme he did when he was like, and people got, he was a kid. It's like 2 years ago. What are we doing, guys? Why do Mongols get a pass for everything? Then on top of that, Senzu now stands down in mysterious circumstances. No questions. No one has any questions. This guy was earning generational wealth. Every time Mongols went to a tournament, even if they finished last, he was getting like half an annual salary, of the people of Mongolia, what they earn. That's before his actual salary, which I can tell you is pretty good. So, no questions. Oh, he's burnt out. Yeah, I'd fucking love to be burnt out from earning all that money at 19. I'd fucking love to be burnt out like that. I would love to be burnt out from literally, can I ask another million? Cheers. I would fucking love to be burnt out like that. It's nonsense. It's not burnout. Of course it's not fucking burnout. Something has gone on. Either behavioral or something's come up from the past. But Mongols didn't want to cut him. And he didn't want to leave Mongols. He went on social media, didn't he? I'm so sad. Here is, I have turned all my social medias black and deleted all my posts. I am sad. You know, that's how Zoomers get attention these days. That's their cry for help, isn't it? So the fans are just insufferable now. The fans have become insufferable. Definitely off to the head start for the Gonzo Award for 26. They are so incurious about this team. They gaslight you about everything this team does and all of its potential and all of the players' potential. They ask zero questions about it. Meanwhile, by the way, they just turn up to these events. It's so lackluster most of the time. And then, what are they doing? You see a post on Reddit. Mongols on late night talk show. Mongols doing collab with DJ. Mongols on front page of magazine. Mongols to feature in documentary. Do you want to win some fucking trophies, boys? Do you want to get back to, like, just be, you know, actually being competitive and win some trophies? I get it, like. But, you know, a lot of media work, that, isn't it? For a team that keeps losing. But fine. Hope you enjoy the fame. You know, hope you enjoy the money. I'm sure you will enjoy the money. Having seen how far it goes. Anyway, they brought in controls. Why did I go on that rant? There's no need for it. Because remember when they brought in controls and they found controls and controls was like playing like tier 2 Mongolian games and he was 28 and they brought him in and everyone went, wow, that's fucking crazy. Why have they brought him in? And then like he had a couple of good games and everyone went, wow, Mongols have done it again. Holy shit, controls is the truth. He's so good. It's like, yeah, but not really, is he? You know, we're really looking at 3-4 good series, and 2 of them were against Spirit. And so, of course, he's gone. He's never going to be a long-term solution. But now they're like, oh, thanks for everything, controls, hearts, we love you. We love you so much. You won't remember this guy in fucking 6 months. Insufferable fan base. Thumbs up for cutting controls. We're coming back to them in just a moment. But then, over in Aurora, similarly, a regional team where you think, what are your options? Well, they made some pretty surprising choices. We knew changes were coming to Aurora at the last event of the year. You saw it. You saw them pre the major. I saw them in PGL. I saw them at the PGL they won. When things were going bad against Legacy, they were like, go to Brofist each other. Nah, they weren't even making eye contact. Go to high five, nah. They would be like muttering stuff under their breath, like win or lose a round. There was one point where they lost a round and Xantares just started Joker laughing. It's on camera. He's like, ah, yeah, we're shit. It's like, fucking hell, boys. They are the most mentally fucking fragile team. So obviously they were going to make changes because it's like, look, instead of fixing that, let's just blame some people and make some roster cuts. So the first thing they did, thought this is mental. Jota's just gone. Like I didn't think he was the an issue, but he went, and they brought in Soulfly, player I didn't know too much about. 21-year-old, by the way. Love his look, love his drip, flowing locks. But I was like, you know, yeah, is it? Is this the guy? So we'll wait and see on that one. That was the decision that they made. Like, okay, thumb up, maybe. I think Jota's probably a better player, and he's got the experience, but we'll see where it goes. Then, speaking of the inexplicable, remember all that talk about BC Game that we did? And we said, like, oh, BC Game, well, look what they're setting up. They're setting up for an exciting core. You're going to get an exciting core, simple and electronic. By the way, there was a news story coming around where apparently they were going to go for the Astralis core, and Astralis said they didn't want to play with simple and electronic. But that's on one of them, like, CS2 news sites. So it's probably bullshit. BC Game targets Saw core. Saw. Now, I saw... Saw. You're going to hear the word saw a lot. I saw a tweet by Thorin, my old chum Thorin, who I do a movie podcast with and occasionally an esports podcast with. And I saw a tweet from him where he said Mutaris and Aragorn alongside Simple and Electronic is going to cook. I do not feel that way at all. I do not feel like that. I've got my reasons. I mean, first of all, what's been a recurring problem in Simple's career? And that is that he doesn't listen to IGLs he doesn't respect. quite famously, no one has been able to put a leash on Simple. Now, you can argue, maybe you don't cage the butterfly. I get that. Sometimes you do have to let instinctive players act on instinct and do what they want, essentially, and you need to create a framework around that, but a structure for everybody else that doesn't include what that flamboyant player is going to do. There's ways around that. You can work around that. The best teams will work around that. There's no way Simple is thinking to himself, oh, Mutaris is an IGL. Sick. Especially when the last real IGL he worked with was Carrigan. He got a brief taste of that. I bet he's still thinking to himself, fucking hell, I wish Brokey's shit in the bed today at the time of recording this again. Eyeballers beating Fizz to start the year. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to competitive Counter-Strike and Fizz and their unbelievable erratic bullshit. Simple's probably thinking that could be me. He's not thinking, I can't wait to hear Mutaris's ideas on how to execute. Of course he fucking doesn't want any of that. Then the other problem you've got is Electronic. Electronic will, like, look, it's well known in the scene. Players that play with Electronic, right? It's obviously, Simple's his bro. I don't even know if Simple likes playing with him, frankly, but Simple's his bro. They're together now, right? The amount of players who've said, I am so happy I'm not playing with Electronic anymore once they stop playing with him. It's outrageous. So now you've got this Aragorn player looks legit as well. Like, saw him play at PGL. And you've got Crazy with a K, which, you know, dog shit nickname, but what are you going to do? Amazed no one else has that nickname first, actually. But probably thousands of players did. None of them made it because it's shit. So he's the king of the crazies. Good luck. Good luck dealing with an angry guy. Just a permanently angry dude. An angry, delusional dude who also, by the way, thinks he did nothing wrong as an IGL and is improving all the time. And he's got Blade gassing him up in the press. Yeah, Electronic's great. He's perfect. Tailor-made to be an IGL. You know, except the tactical acumen and the temperament. But other than that, perfect for it. This is a disaster. This is the most underwhelming core they could have picked up. It's going to implode. It has no long-term future. It's linguistically a nightmare. This, my friends, is indeed the first Overwatch fart noise of this roster mania. I'm disgusted at this. And you have to understand, like, he'll never say it publicly. Not even Simple at his craziest would say it publicly. He must think, what have I got to do? Like, what hell am I in? Ever since he got... Right. Let me tell you what his brain was thinking when he got benched from Na'Vi. They'll come crawling back. Even went to the Major to watch him lose. They'll come crawling back. Win the Major, of course. They can't keep that up. I'll get brought back. Wonderful will fail. JL will retire. Something will happen. None of that happened. And then it's a loan to Falcons. This is terrible. Another loan to Falcons. This is terrible. A loan to FaZe. They said, they want to buy me. They said they want to keep me. FaZe got no money. FaZe, the legally distinct entity esports, right, has, And now it's, okay, well, I'll just join this random gambling organization. They've got a ton of money. So they'll buy me a team around me. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. No one has these phones anymore, by the way. I am aware this is an anachronism, but it's funnier. Ring, ring. Yeah, somebody did this. Bet none of you even remember rotary phones, do you? Ring, ring. Hello, Simple here. Hello, it's me, Mr. BC Gang. We've done it. We've bought you a VRS call. We're going to get you back to the big time. Oh, fucking sick. Who did you get? You know any Portuguese? Oh, wait, you didn't. You got me some sick Brazilian players to play with. No, we got you them, like, average Portuguese players. Simple! That's a Metal Gear Solid reference, of course. It's a fucking nightmare. It's like all of Simple's fucking worst nightmares. Like, all compiled at once, pancaking into his brain. Like, yeah, you got to, and they're gonna have to play together. They're gonna have to go to tournaments and play together. That motherfucker is already weighing up a pro Dota career. I promise you. This is diabolical. Diabolical. I'm sorry. I'm so sad. I'm actually sad by, I'm saddened by this. I genuinely wanted Sinful to rise again. This ain't it. Anyway, next up, Zwei, despite his nightmare having occurred at Spirit, he's got a second chance in a really good home for me. It's Paravision. P-Vision, as they're called on the Let's Not Say Gambling Names broadcasts all around the world. P-Vision, obviously, they really impressed me at the recent major. I had them getting through into the playoffs. I think they could have got into the playoffs. I think they got super unlucky with the blue ball system and everything else. But I really like this team. And yes, they had a crazy run. But fucking Jame, listen, Jame is going to Jame. And he is going to do, he's going to play the game his way. And his way is, I'm going to throw all of the flashes, all of the utility. You're going to have shit guns if it's necessary for me to have an AWP. And you're going to go where I say and pop heads. And if that fails, whatever. Oh, and by the way, we're doing that with 15 seconds left on the clock of every round. That's how he does it. Now, this is way more interesting than when he was doing it in Virtus Pro. You know why? Because the players are way more interesting. Belchinok's a beast. Jello is fucking super fucking slept on. Well, not now. People are getting wise to him. He was getting criticised at the start of this year or at the start of this team when he was on this roster. Oh, he's not it. He's not it. He fucking is it. He's definitely it. And now Zwei has come in for the inarguable weakest link in the chain. And that was AW. Obviously, AW, he was only 19. It was always going to be a tall order. Oh, this is a really young team. And AW had definitely struggled in the big games. But, bro, you could see literal shaking crosshair, man. Like, not in the pecs, is he a cheater kind of way. But this kid was shitting his pants. It was a real big step up. And he just didn't have that nerves of steel. Zwei's already had the nightmare. He's already had that nightmare, you know, of like, oh, shit, it's my exams. I haven't revised. I've got to get to school. He's already had that nightmare on Spirit. He is a massive upgrade for AW. Whatever you think about what he did in Spirit, Jame actually is better poised to get something out of him than Chopper was. That much is true. And Paravision have managed to get a Russian-speaking upgrade onto their team, which was already one of the most exciting teams in World Counter-Strike. This fucking rules. This is two thumbs up. I am a Paravision stan. That's how I'm rolling in 2026. Watch out for this team. I'm going to call it. This is the surprise team of 2026 right here. Now, listen, I remember when I said that about BetBoom. One of the worst calls I've ever made, but I believe it this time, and I'm gonna manifest it this time. This is it. This is the real one. Jame is back. Back to the Mongols. Well, Senzu wasn't coming back the whole time. A lot of gaslighting about that, by the way. They brought in one of the worst nicknamed players. It's like Crazy is the worst. Crazy with a K is the worst. Cobra Zero. What is this? I'll never forgive Cold Zero for this. I stuck up for Cold Zero when everyone was saying Cold Zero wasn't good. He's just a baiter. If he didn't have Taco to bait, he wouldn't get the numbers. No, that wasn't true. Cold Zero was great. He was an expert at trading. It's not the same. He also was unbelievable in the clutch. And had one of the highest ceilings I'd ever seen at that time in 2016 of any rifle. He fucking blew my mind. But now, every Brazilian just has Zero in their name. And then, if you're not Brazilian and you're doing it, Cobra Zero, fucking hell. It's like, oh, it's like you've just logged on some fucking pub server. Who's top of the scoreboard? It's me, Cobra Zero, and they had somebody on Fiverr make themselves like an esports banner, but they're nobody. Oh, it's terrible. It's so bad. But anyway, Kobrazira is a young prospect from Mongolia, and so he is now been given the unenviable task of filling Senzu's shoes. And it's going to be hard, and certainly as good as the fans are going to be, everyone's going to be like, if he has a good game, he's the best, because it's those Mongols fans again. But if he doesn't have good games, and people are going, well, controls was better than this. Oh, I miss you, Senzu. Where is Senzu? It's going to drive him crazy. He's going to get attention like he's never had attention before in his career. Now, see here, he was the second highest rated player on the Huns. That, of course, comes with the massive caveat, the Huns didn't play a lot of S-tier Counter-Strike. Also, let's not forget, you had that fucking team get banned for match-fixing in Mongolia. You know, there was all those players just, like, taken out of the Mongolian scene, which meant the competition thinned out a little bit. And so the ones at the top, when they were playing their regional rivals, all of a sudden, it was a bit less intense. It was newer players. It was people filling the gaps, filling the voids. So, Kobrazira, I don't know. I mean, put it this way. Honestly, Senzu was a group stage merchant, bar one or two exceptions, that everybody, like, massively fucking hyped up. I thought he was too high in the top 20 this year, at 13, especially considering how much of it he missed. Missed in weird circumstances as well, no less. So, you got to roll the dice on a young kid replacing him, and maybe he can. I mean, look, the Mongols are a good team. And when the Mongols are motivated to try hard and win, they are a very, very good team. And they can give anybody a game. They can be competitive in any series, particularly as well. I love the way they play Mirage. I think they play it like in a super interesting and unique way. And it's very oppressive. But it's a tall order. It's tough shoes to fill. And he's going to be under a lot of scrutiny. Can Senzu ever be replaced? I'm going to say yeah, honestly. I think he was good. I don't think he was like a phenom like these Mongols fans are making out. So let's see. It's a shaky hand. It's tentative. At least now the Mongols have got a real five that they can use moving forward. And by the way, the first time the Senzu question comes up again about this kid, I hope the organization, the management, the coaches, the players, they shut it down. There can be, if you have closed the door on Senzu, make it known. Everybody needs to know. We've got to move on from that shit, and it'll actually help you in the long run. This was a surprise. MIBR tried to be a budget furrier. Their coach went, and Kickett went. We were all surprised when he was there, but he was, again, I want to say not an issue, but that was it. He had his loan out stint with MIBR and he's been called back. They've decided they don't want to keep him on. So it's not being cut per se. Only had a 0.94 rating, but there's caveats within that. Obviously, this is the disaster. We all saw the Kickett had the 0.75 rating and that nightmare performance at the CS Asia Championships. And he's had some bad times as well. But ultimately, it's tough playing in MIBR and having to play with people that don't necessarily speak the same language or approach the game in a different way. So, you know, okay, didn't do enough to earn a contract, but maybe he can still do something in his career at 27. He did put a statement out as well after the major. There were a lot of thoughts, but the main one is it's time to return to the IGL role again. I know I'm capable of more, and I'm ready to prove it. I'm excited to start looking for a new team as a captain. My goal remains unchanged, a return to Tier 1 tournaments and compete at the highest level. Please don't rush to judge me based on this strange season. Many circumstances prevented any of the MIBR players from showing their true level. I did the right conclusions, and I will break through this. Judge me and my future team by results, playbook, structure, protocols, reactions, vision, and everything needed to build a strong team ready. So, yeah, okay, fair enough. We will judge you on those things. Some strange allusions there, but obviously it's different. It's different when you want to be an IGL and you've got your own ideas about the game and you're playing on a team that doesn't, so whatever. But ultimately, probably a good move to get him off the roster. Probably a good move for Kickett. Just one of those things. We talked a little bit about Wildcard. Wildcard unveiled their new roster, which may or may not have been selected by AI. Here it is. They have Rec, Klaysia, I believe this is pronounced Sen, MHL, and Peeping. And, of course, James IRL as the coach. Honestly, they haven't done too bad, like real talk. They might have arrived at this roster through totally fucked up and stupid means, but the roster they've got now feels like it can actually go places and be potentially exciting moving forward. Obviously, Peeping was the prospect, the one that we've kind of like been talking about. Where's he going to end up? What's he going to achieve? What's he going to do? Going to stay on this wildcard roster, and they put a team around him. Rec, obviously from M80, was playing well when he got replaced. Definitely a player that's got that kind of experience. Klaysia has been around the block. I do seem to recall Davey saying something about, I'm pretty sure he had some stories about Klaysia, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, definitely someone with a little bit of experience in that NA scene. And this is where it's interesting. People probably don't remember this, but there was a time when MHL was being talked about as maybe joining some top teams. And he'd been linked. I want to say it was Liquid at one point. I think Team Liquid took a long, hard look at MHL at one point, and then they decided to go in a different direction. I think definitely MHL is going to emerge as the star in this roster. I think he is one of those players who has been very unlucky career-wise in terms of like his talent should have probably took him to a slightly better series of teams than he's actually played for. But now he's got the perfect opportunity to prove it because, wildcard should be able to get to some big tournaments, and MHL, all you got to do is stand out. So we will see. And then Sen, I'm not going to lie, don't know too much about this kid. Doesn't have the best stats when you look. Maybe could be the last talent airlifted out of Denmark before Astralis like close the portal of evil with their international lineup. Really couldn't tell you. I'm not going to like LARP as an expert on this kid. All I know is that at the end of the day, he was in the academy team. Now he's not. We shall see. Shake your hand for this. But honestly, I just want to see MHL play. Always respected his game. Him having an opportunity to do it. I think wildcard can be interesting for sure. We will see. We already did a full video on this one. So we'll just address it quickly. Astralis have put together their team. And the final piece was Ryu, which means they've now got Fozy and Ryu on their roster as a replacement for Device and Magisk. They're looking at what they say are, other young international pieces. We will see. For me, though, it's like, we'll wait. Pimp seemed to like it. He said he was, intrigued by it, is what he said about it on Twitter. For me, I don't know. I think it's going to be very hard for Astralis to get back to being a relevant team for a while. And we need to find, they need to answer questions about their stability and their financial viability. Today, they played Fnatic. They were winning. I think they've won now. So we will judge them once they get a run of results. I don't think beating Fnatic is a feather in your cap, though, as we'll talk about as we get to the back nine of the roster mania. But ultimately, give Astralis a shaky hand, because why not? We go back to Mongols. Oh, God, it never ends with this fucking team. So first of all, Mongols made it abundantly clear we are open to offers for Senzu. Well, listen, that's cool and all, but I need to know what the fuck I'm buying. If I'm buying someone that's going to get an ESIC ban, I'm not going to do it. I'm not saying he is going to get an ESIC ban, right? I don't know. But there's no one's going to pay any fucking money until we know what the fuck is up. Someone has to come out and answer questions about this shit and do it seriously and professionally. Or at least, come on, are there no journalists left? None of you out there? Come on, guys, dig into this shit. I bet it's a piece of piss to fucking find out what's happened. Don't make me come out of semi-retirement and do it. I don't want to be that guy. I felt like shit doing the Gaming Gladiators story at the end of 2025. It can't always be me. Someone please find out what's going on. Because otherwise, it's cool you're open to offers. By the way, spoiler, why would you even need to advertise this? He's on the bench. He's under contract. He's your player. You're not playing him. You've replaced him. Yeah, obviously someone could buy him, you know? And then it's like, fuck off, mate. Sources. Senzu were open to up transition. He said he would consider a role swap to get on the right team. Right, first of all, that's like saying I'm open to having an extra 2 inches put on my dick. What, you're open to becoming a more complete fucking player, are you? Well, colour me surprised. On top of that, what the fuck have you ever done to suggest that you're at this stage in your career, you're going to pick up the AWP and be able to be slotted into a fucking tier one team as their first choice AWPer? There's no sample size. There's nothing. So, absolute nonsense. Put it this way, there's definitely teams that would benefit from him. FaZe would benefit from him if they could afford him. Liquid would benefit from him. He could definitely go places if he wants to play in an international lineup. But between all of this weird bullshit and him talking in the media about, please, please, I'll do anything. I'll play on the up. It's got real fucking Stown energy, dude. It's weird. The whole thing's weird. Quickly do this one. I was very surprised by this. Story from Saw, who I thought was like their standout, or certainly their most consistent, joins FlyQuest, the Aussies, to replace Regali, who I thought was their standout, probably their most consistent. I don't know if like his visa just ran out or something and they're just not talking about it. But, like, Regali, man, what a fucking cursed career this kid has had. This kid is good. This kid is a good player. This kid can definitely be on one of the lower-end Tier 1 teams as a starting AWPer. Actual fact. And he has shown it in FlyQuest. Doesn't get the rub of the green. Now he's benched looking for a team. When he was in, like, Fnatic Academy and he first broke through into Fnatic, I genuinely thought that was going to be it for him. I thought he would go there. This guy could easily be like, you know, Gamer Legion have been fumbling for fucking AWPer and AWPer and AWPer. Here's your guy. Get Regali. You know, like, he probably deserves better than Gamer Legion, but it fixes two problems. So I just don't know what this is. I don't know why he's been benched but on FlyQuest. It makes no sense to me. It seems to be such a real stupid position. Like, don't get decision. Don't get me wrong, bringing in Story, like, cool. It's just you didn't need to bring in Story. You had Regali. So this is weird. I'ma just say thumbs down on the basis of it. No disrespect to Story. But just what a wild fucking decision. Hopefully Regali gets a team. I don't want to see him sit out another season. Now, we get to go back to Simple and BC game. Because we did these in chronological order, by the way. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello, Simple here. Hey, Simple. It's Mr. BC game here. We got cut off on our last phone call when I was telling you about buying the Portuguese. Shut up, old. Anyway, I've got more good news for you. We've got the coach. Who have you got? A lot of good coaches available right now. A lot of hot property. I think you're going to really like this one. We've got someone who, their last coaching job, they were on a top-tier team. Oh, okay, well, who? I thought, you know, maybe might be getting Ash or someone like that, but, like, this sounds... No, Taz. Simple. It's unbelievable that, like, this is horrifying for everyone involved. Do you know what? Taz doesn't deserve this. It's no secret. I love Victor. I thought G2 treated Victor like shit. I think it's indicative of who G2 have become in the post-Carlos era. They treated this man like garbage. That fucking CEO... Orban Deschelot, he, at the lowest point, went and did that HLTV interview where he said, oh, we didn't hire Taz for tactics, we hired him for vibes. He was getting crucified in the community for not understanding the game or not having tactics. By the way, this is a Hall of Fame player. This is one of the legends of the game. You're telling me he doesn't understand fucking Counter-Strike. The CEO is going to cut you off at the knees and do that. And then, knowing he was going to get fired, they sent him to Astana all the way to Kazakhstan. And then, because G2 management fucked up and didn't realize that Hunter needed a visa, Taz had to stand in and play, and they nearly got to playoffs. And as that team was melting down, Taz was the one that was, I was there, saw it with my own eyes. Taz was going, guys, calm down. Let's just do what we can. We've got this. Let's stay positive. Let's stay focused. Model professional. Does all of that. They don't get to playoffs. He gets home. He gets fired. And it's like, Victor, oh, you've got to pick your jobs carefully in this business. Robert De Niro said, quite famously, when it came to selecting scripts, he said, the talent is in the choices. As in, if you pick good scripts, you will get to make good movies, okay? You got to pick the right teams at the right time. And let me just tell you, working with Simple, that might be a coach's dream, particularly someone like Taz. Taz genuinely could be the Simple whisperer. But who else is on this roster? Electronic. Who else is on this roster? A core of Portuguese players that haven't come close to the heights of Simple or Electronic at any point in their career. Electronic's going to look down on these guys. Simple's going to look down on these guys. And Taz has to... The first thing Taz has to do is bridge that gap. Bridge that respect gap. What an impossible job. And then he's got to make them respect him after being crucified by G2. Man, what a mess. What a mess for everybody. I think Victor was unfairly maligned for his time in G2. I think he's a much better coach than people give him credit for. Remember, G2 was his first coaching job, so talk about being thrown in the deep end. But this is a second job. I don't know. Victor might just be a fucking masochist, bro. Like, I don't know. Out of respect for Victor, I'll give it shaky hand, but I just don't see this being good at all. I think this is a fucking nightmare. I think this is a nightmare for him specifically. Now we get to talk about a good one. 100 Thieves. We wondered what 100 Thieves were going to do. They were calling them 100 Unks on Reddit. Unk, he's an unk because he's like nearly 30. Yeah, unks. Old people, we'll never be 30. Oh, wait, we are nearly 30 now. Respect our opinion now. No, the new generation hates us. Unk, unk, unk. I gotta say, the criticism towards 100 Thieves from the pundits, not so much the fans, has been inexplicable to me. Let's look at the pieces. These were the announcements, right? So you brought in Rain. Rain, at the age of 31, is going to become an IGL. By the way, I can't think of a better pro to be IGL. It's incorrect to say he's never done it before. He has. It's just obviously the moment he's synced up with Carrigan, why would he ever need to do it again? He's like literally with the best IGL. And Carrigan always said the best player he'd worked with across his career, his simpatico Counter-Strike soulmate, was Rain. Right? So why would he do it? So if ever there was a player that had the right temperament, the right level of professionalism, the intelligence, the intellect, the communication skills, it's this guy. Absolutely he's just unflappable under pressure. You cannot rustle his jimmies. This is the guy. So I like it. Give it a go. If he can't be an IGL, there's a bunch of people who are going to get a chance to be an IGL that shouldn't. Why not Rain? Then the coach, Glaive. Oh, but he's never coached before. The pundits have said, you've got an IGL who's never IGL before. You've got a coach who's never coached before. This is a disaster. How's that a disaster? He's like the great. He is arguably the greatest IGL of all time. If he can't be a coach, then no one can. Like, literally, just close the doors. It may as well just be a lottery on who is a coach. We may as well just accept, right? So we've got the Giga Chad Rain, the true Giga Chad, who's IGL. We've got Glaive, go IGL as coach. I've already said, Sean Gares is involved behind the scenes. Messioso is their, like, GM. Two of the finest minds in all of Counter-Strike. They've then gone out. They've brought in Poi, who everyone was talking about this kid. Everyone was excited about this kid. He was linked with a bunch of teams. 100 Thieves have got him. They've brought in Agile, another prospect, maybe not as exciting as Poi, but at the end of the day, they've also got Sirra, who another insane prospect that people have been talking about, and where's he going to go? All of them, like 19, 19, 22, malleable, definitely not peaked. Also, as I said, exciting young players that other orgs wanted. 100 Thieves have come in. And as I said, Poi's definitely the best of the bunch. They might not all make it. If I was to back which one's still going to be here in 3 years and considered good, it's definitely Poi. I think he's a safe bet. Then on top of that, you've got Device. One of the players in the GOAT conversation for CSGO. One of three. And yes, he is 30. I didn't realize he turned 30. Yes, it might be the worst version of Device that exists. But let's also be clear. AWPers, they ain't what they used to be. Are they? I think 100 Thieves have put together a real good roster. And an interesting roster. And an exciting roster. And I also like, you've got to give them extra respect. They didn't just cheese and buy a core like your BC Games or your Falcons. We'll just buy a core and then we'll just replace them. Fuck them, fuck their careers. We'll just buy three players we have no intention of actually working with in earnest over a long term. We'll brutalize and butcher their careers just so we can get invites to tier one tournaments now. Just for that stick of money or whatever it is. They didn't. 100 Thieves haven't done this. They're saying, "Listen, we're gonna go the long way." All right, cool. Well, I fucking respect that, and you should respect that too. And I think they've got an exciting team. I think all the doom and gloom around 100 Thieves is ridiculous. I am 100% backing 100 Thieves. I'm not saying they're gonna be like amazing. I think it's a shame they missed out on PR or whatever, which we'll talk about at the end. For the big moves that didn't happen. But for me, like, I don't see what more they could have done. They're clearly taking a long view at this. It might be too strong to give them two thumbs up, but I'm definitely going to give them one thumb up. And I think the doom and gloom from all of the pundit class is ridiculous. I think it shows a complete lack of belief in almost like our own fucking skills, like our own, the people that achieve things, not being able to translate that success into other areas. Like, sure, it doesn't happen a lot, like all the time, but we're talking about the best of the best. Rain, Glaive, like, come on, like, it's crazy. We had this as well. Gotta love the photo. Flex maxing, gym maxing. It's Susp coming in for Youngstar. And obviously he was part of the wild card implosion. He's come in now. Twists and turns as of today, because it looks like Alcorin had problem getting a visa. So Youngstar's actually back. Heroic confuse me, because on the one hand, I think they're one of the best-run organizations in World Counter-Strike right now. I do. I think they've min-maxed really well when it comes to selling players high, buying talent low. I think they've done it really well. And I think they've got a pretty exciting team. Like, Alcorin looked pretty legit when he first came in, right? We're excited by Alcorin. X-Floud, we all say he's in the fucking Aurora waiting room. He'll eventually go there. He's like really good. This Nilo player, they brought him in straight to the bench. Apparently he was having a fucking emotional meltdown, is what people were saying behind the scenes. He just really was shook at being propelled into tier one. He's ready to go. Looks a good talent. You brought in Susp. We've talked about him. I thought, you know, again, I'm sad that LNZ and Youngstar aren't necessarily going to make it, but Heroic, I feel like they know what they're doing when it comes to, like, cycling through these players. So, yeah, I'll say thumbs up. I'll give Heroic the benefit of the doubt on this one. Ty Lue obviously had Attacker retire. He's now the assistant coach. And they brought in another young Chinese player here called Zero. I say young, you're 20. That's still young, isn't it? And he has come in. He's, again, considered a rising talent. And ultimately, Ty Lue, for me, everybody loves this team now because they've made themselves accessible through English-speaking media, engaging in interviews and other stuff like that. You can see that, you know, obviously G and Jam Young, people love them. Jam Young is the best player in China. He's, like, just so good right now and lots of fun to watch. Obviously, I think Mercury slept on as well. I've always liked the Ty Lue roster. They've just been missing something. And a lot of people did question because Attacker was kind of brought back. And then, you know, now he's gone again. This is definitely a step in the right direction. One thumbs up. Let's see more Chinese Counter-Strike in 2026. BetClick were doing that weird thing of going, we are going to sell some players to very expensive. And then we're going to buy players. Also very expensive, very good players. I was like, all right, you want to shut up and fucking do it then? And they did. And this is their new roster. Obviously, BetClick was the home of Jacob, quite famously, before he went to FaZe. And you can see they've brought in a Polish lineup, the key piece of which will be Hades. My poor, poor Hades. Another player whose career could have just took a different trajectory. You can see, like, look at this. He's standing in for G2. And then, obviously, he was in the inner circle for a bit. He's BetClick. He's at Heroic as a stand-in. That ended quite poorly. Now he's back to BetClick. So we're gonna see how that all pans out. But ultimately, he's the key piece in all of this. BetClick are kind of, again, trying to do that thing, the min-maxing. It's just kind of what they do. You know, it is what it is. Double shaky hand. How much more can you say, realistically? Will Polish Counter-Strike rise again? We will see. Now, a fun one. I'm sure you remember the video I did. I did a whole video on BlameF joining Fnatic, and I begged him, if there was any way he could get out of the contract, please, please, Blame, don't go. I begged him, change your mind. But he didn't, and he joined. And he was their top-performing player because he is a genuine star. And basically, Reddit don't like him because he is not a self-insert. He is buff, good-looking, and he doesn't really... For him, the game is a job. He's one of those sports guys. He puts in his practice hours. He hits the gym. He does his shit. That's that. That's how he rolls. And people have created this fucking dog shit narrative about him. All he does is bait. You go look at the statistics, you know, opening entry attempts, Blame's usually up there. You know, you've got people like Gaules saying, look at this, based on one round. Don't know why Gaules went French for a bit. You know, look at this, it's a disgrace. And everyone's like, yeah, they're right. It's bait F. He's just one of the best riflers in the world. But whose career is cursed, evidently. And so he has joined Fnatic, and it was a terrible decision. But the good news is he's leaving Fnatic. Fnatic are such pieces of shit, they even did the bait F meme in their farewell statement. Like, fuck what this org has become. You can see here, today we part ways, they missed the S off, with Blame F, who is transferring to another organization. And we want to sincerely thank Benjamin for his professionalism, impact, and contribution during his time in Black and Orange. As part of the system we're building for the future, we identified the need to shift towards a more proactive, entry-focused, and aggressive rifler approach. Womp womp, Bait F, call him names, community. Call him Bait F because he's leaving us. Call him Bait F. Fucking, this is pathetic, guys. This is like so fucking cringe that you're doing this as an organization. Especially when you follow it up. Oh, well, what legendary entry fragger have you signed, Fnatic? To support that direction, we're excited to welcome Madden. What? Now, look, clearly them signing Madden is like some fucked up desperation move just to get a roster together. There's no way they were looking at this and going, you know what would really improve our rifling core? Minus Blame F plus Madden. An experienced fucking space taker. Yeah, he's going to be taking up space on your fucking bench in about 3 months. That's the space he's going to be fucking taking up. It's just a desperation move to get five players on a roster so they can compete at tournaments legitimately. That's all that is, right? And don't be fooled otherwise. But this petulant, pathetic, cringeworthy, sly dig at Blame is beneath an organization, and he was the best player on your fucking roster. And I was like, yes, yes, it's over. Blame F is out. Where's he going? Falcons, FaZe, where will it be? Where will Blame go? For Blame, I love. No, this must be a typo. It must be a typo. It must be that Blame's muscles are big. He can't be joining Big. Not Big, not the German Big. Oh, man. From Fnatic to Big. Now, look, I'm a turn it around, as D-Man would say. I think he's going to turn it around. I am going to turn it around. Because this isn't your dad's Big. This is a new look Big. Finally, Big are going international. You see, they've said goodbye to Freeze, right? And they're going international. The thing I said, that Berlin International Gaming, right? It's right there in your name. You should have done that ages ago. But they were like, no, let's get another German. Oh, shall we have this German? Oh, he is bad. Oh, Einschader. Oh, shall we try another German? Es ist also schlecht. Einschader. And they just did that over and over and over again while Tabson was just sat there. Making all of his money, just sat on his hoard of money. And it's like, guys, for fuck's sake, can we just go international? Everyone's doing it. Why can't you do it? And they're finally doing it. And they're doing it with really exciting pieces. Look at this, by the way. 18 months in Fnatic, 1.21 rating. Baiting, of course. But remember the other thing I've said in Rostermania videos of yesteryear. I have said, Grix, this is the maddest fumble of all time. I don't understand. Like, what? The Grix to end up at Big, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Because when Grix joined Heroic, I was like, oh, shit. This is good, man. This is actually like a legit sick move. But then he immediately went inactive. And they put out some bullshit statement saying his style doesn't fit. It's like, his style is he's a fucking sick, young, up-and-coming AWPer who hits fucking amazing shots. That style will do me, please. But no. So anyway, he's now at Big. The other part of this as well is Blame F. He's back to being an IGL. You know what? I fuck with it. Tabson's had his time as an IGL. He's been doing it. I always felt reluctantly. You have to understand. Some people don't want to necessarily go to the bigs, the bigs. They don't want to do it. Tabson is, this is a boomer football reference, so forgive me. Tabson is the Matt Letizier of Counter-Strike. Matthew Letizier, by the way, was a fantastically gifted footballer. He was a little bit lazy, didn't like training. He'd spend 89 minutes scratching his ass, then he'd hit a fucking 40-yard volley into the top corner to give Southampton a point, and everyone would be like, holy shit, never missed a penalty. He was just a gifted player. Chelsea tried to buy him a bunch of times. I think they wanted him as a replacement for Glenn Hoddle at one point. And obviously, COVID has broken his brain right now. We're just talking about Matt Letizier, the footballer, before anyone starts going, but wait, didn't he go on a podcast with David Icke? Tabson didn't do that. Tabson doesn't believe in lizard people, as far as I know. But anyway, he never went to Chelsea. He never took the big move because he just like, I'm a god at Southampton. Why the fuck would I? And Tabson made that decision to stay at Big, stay German. He had his time internationally. Remember, he was in that fucking, you know, NRG lineup where he was a fucking, he was actually like their star player. He could have gone to FaZe. He didn't want to. He became an IGL and he's just been chilling at Big all of this time. And by the way, because no one has any expectations for Big, Tabson gets zero criticism for achieving nothing with Big. He was the IGL with the safest job in World Counter-Strike. Now he's got to be a player again. Now he's got to justify himself on the server again. And I want to see that Tabson. I want to see if Tabson can do that at 30 years old. Let's wait and see. Also, Blame F was not a bad IGL. There, I said it. He was not a bad IGL. And one of the reasons I think he got frustrated in his career was when he kind of got usurped from that role at Complexity. And, you know, it's like, well, what am I going to do? What's a guy to do? So I think this is great all round. They keep JDC. Sick. Zen shouldn't be allowed to be a coach, but whatever. Let me tell you, give Tizzy and Zen's job and then just get free of this guy that admittedly cheated. This already looks better than Fnatic to me. And yeah, as we're going to get to, they go on to add Faven, or Farven, however you want to say it, Farver Beans. Big have ended up with a better roster than Fnatic. You can cheer for Big again. You can be excited about Big again. It's sort of 1.5, this little thumb's like Geodude. Like, yeah, I want to be two. It's kind of like that. It's right there. Great move. Can't wait to see them over the course of the season. And I just want Blame F to have the career he deserves because he's an unbelievably talented player. Maybe this is the place he can get it done. Fingers crossed. We started out the stream talking about Pain. As we get to the end of the stream, let's talk about Pain. Here was the players that they brought in. I'm old enough to remember when VSM was the cheeky youngster that everyone said was going to be the next big thing. And it's like, he's still a decent player, but it never quite happened. And now you have Perea Jr. as well joining. Honestly, I think this is a better lineup. I just think overall, not just what you gain in terms of the national, you know, we can all talk Portuguese. Again, I'm not saying they couldn't understand each other, by the way. They obviously could. But just having that and also getting some players that are experienced in the Brazilian scene, I think this is just a clear upgrade for me. And I think ultimately, will Pain be a surprise team in 2026? No, probably not. But they'll be a better team. Avilas is like an improved version of them. So I'll give it one thumbs up. You know what I mean? I'm okay with it. So I just want Bigazira to... Nice to see him, you know, win a trophy and all of that stuff. Back to the big roster, just to show you confirmation of what you were talking about. Farver Beans, he was the guy completing it. And yeah. Sick also. So definitely big are one to watch this season. Got to give a shout out to my boy Adam. We were talking about Taz and the perils and the pitfalls of making sure the first coaching job you take is the right one. Well, here he is. Looking great there at the HLTV Awards. My old friend, Adam. I do genuinely love this man. And I'm so happy to see him finally get an opportunity in coaching. I'll say this. Adam would have also been great on a desk. He is a vibrant personality. I want to say we had him on a desk at one point. Might have been Cluj. He might have done a guest appearance on a desk there. But certainly think he's done a guest appearance in the past. For whatever reason, not something he wanted to do. He is one of the true gentlemen of the sport. He is one of the funnest guys to be around. I came up with him through the source scene. We had many a great time together. I love that this guy gets to stick around in Counter-Strike. And I think he's earned that right. And I certainly will be rooting for him to have a great glittering coaching career. Baba, another guy that, by the way, I have got absolutely fucking mullered with this dude. Probably the most drunk I've ever been at an esport event was with this guy. I did keep up with him, but what you have to remember is when someone's like 6'5 and in shape and you're just some horrible journalist, they've just got a better body for like processing the alcohol. You're just like, yeah. But anyway, a legend. But Barbar's out. Love you, Andre. And Adam is in. Love you, Adam. So, and it's Johnny Speeds. And you have to remember, Johnny Speeds has become this weird blend of Swedish talent incubator and retirement home, right? And what happened to the Swedish scene is sad and depressing because they went from being ubiquitous in Counter-Strike. Everybody watched Swedes set the pace. I mean, you know, there was lots happening you know, I won't bore you with the history lesson, but, you know, Perfect Storm essentially of they had the best internet, so more and more people were likely to play games in Europe. They were getting broadband faster than it was being rolled out in other parts of Europe. Obviously, Counter-Strike was super popular there. It was one of the few countries across Europe. I mean, this is true of the Scandics and the Nordics and Denmark and all of that, and Finland. They had the LAN cafe culture when a lot of other countries didn't. And obviously, they had the legendary LAN, Inferno Online, where that was the incubator for all the original Swedish talent. And the Swedes knew about this, and people used to go down to Inferno Online to watch people like fucking Heaton, like, play. You know, they'd be like, oh, shit, Heaton's going to be playing today. He comes here to practice sometimes. People used to hang out in the lobby just to get a glimpse of these, like, legendary Swedish players. And it developed a pedigree that went right the way through to NIP at the start of CSGO. And obviously the 87-0 streak, which will never be beat. And like Adam is part of that. Adam is part of that continuation and that permeation. And to see him now at Johnny Speeds in a way have kind of become like a Lemon Dogs. If you didn't know, Lemon Dogs were basically the mixing group where in the Swedish community where they would pull a team together of all like the pug heroes. And it was where like, you know, Get Right started, you know, people like that. And basically, Johnny Speeds are trying to do that now. And if you look, they've got Lecro, they've got Draken, right? Guys that are now like tenured, experienced veterans, been around the block. But they've also got these like kids that you, well, actually Heap as well, I should say. But, you know, Joe Cab, Sapek, you know. And Johnny Speeds have picked up some decent results in these like tier two competitions. And for Freiburg, this is a perfect position for him. I think, is your first coaching job. What expectations do people really have for Johnny Speeds? That's good. It's not like a G2 gig like Taz went to, where you're expected to win on day one. All of the experience that Adam can give these players, they're there to absorb it. But equally, the experience of coaching, it's happening away from a spotlight. And sometimes you need to just like learn. You know, you need to make your first 8, 9, 10 mistakes as a coach. Away from the spotlight so you can become a better version of that coach. So this is really cool. And just like, you know, I'll give it 2 thumbs up because it's my mate Adam. I have no idea where it's going to go or whether it'll even go anywhere worth talking about in the future. But it's just nice to see Swedish Counter-Strike kind of like hanging on there and some of these old heads are still making it work. And I wish Adam every success. He's a genuinely lovely guy and deserves everything. And then we've got 2 more. So we'll do this one for the jokes. Problem takes over as Virtus Pro interim coach. And obviously the jokes write themselves, but the one I sort of constructed with, they haven't had as big a problem on the roster since Electronic. So anyway, not really worth talking about. Don't know. Looks like a coach. Have a good time. And then, Nip. Woo! Right at the end of Roster Mania, Nip have come up with a banger. Jeepers creepers, where did you get those peepers? I don't know how this happened. There was a whole insane story around... So it goes something like this, and correct me, chat, if I'm wrong. But basically, Inner Circle thought they'd signed this guy, and he was under contract. And ultimately, it turned out that wasn't the case. Nip have brought him in, and I think it's a free transfer. And this guy was one of the prospects people were talking about, and certainly an upgrade from U-Jerks. So, again, I could be wrong about that, but that, I think, is what was said. You know, I've been reading it on my Twitter timeline. Don't know if you noticed, there's been a lot going on, so my Twitter timeline has been a mess. But obviously, U-Jerks, we knew that hadn't worked out, and it wasn't going to work out moving forward. And you can see here in the HLTV report, great work by my friend and friend of the stream, Note. You know, he's a more natural fit for aggressive space-taking positions. Ken is an aggressive rifler. Up in your face, smash mouth, wreck your head, can play pure entry. Like, loves that shit. And Inner Circle are going to be spewing that this has happened, because especially if they haven't got money for him. I don't know if that's true. I hope for their sake it isn't, because you know, when you develop talent, you want to get something in exchange for it. But here it is, 1.20 rating over 291 maps in 2025. So a lot of maps. This guy was grinding Counter-Strike. Also got a trophy, Level Up Lund, and they won as well some online events. You know, we've been talking about Inner Circle as one of those teams to watch, along with Foot now as well, which we saw. It's really good. This is a really good signing. And it's a really good spot for Ken to be in. Definitely the peak of his career, the highest level he's played at to date, but he's doing it alongside Snappy. Snappy's been great down the years, like developing talent and finding hidden gems and that kind of thing. Never really got the credit for it he deserves. Nipper, another exciting team for me in 2026, I got to say. Like, yes, we've got all the usual suspects, but the teams that interest me are the ones that are making interesting signings, and they are clearly trying to improve. They don't want to just chill 20th in the VRS, go to the occasional Tier 1 event. They want to kick up the rankings. They want to knock on the door of the top 15, maybe even the top 12, maybe even the top 10, and Nip's one of those teams. And that roster, definitely want to watch. Now, they've got a problem, because I don't know when the Kaspersky loan is up. He's too good for this team as it's performing at the moment. G2 are going to regret not picking this guy up. I've said it day one. They didn't want to pay the money. They didn't want to do a loan. They went and got Mattis. That was a bad idea. S. Kaspersky is sick. Definitely one of the big prospects in World Counter-Strike right now. So we will see. If Nip do well, it's conceivable that he joins full-time. If they don't, he's going to go to a much bigger team. That's something they need to pay attention to. Rest of the roster, love it. Very excited by it. Already said, I really rate Exist as a coach. Two thumbs up, I think. Very exciting finalization to their roster. And watch Ken. Like, definitely a player that's going to surprise a few people. And that's it. Another roster mania. It was a not very exciting roster mania. In many ways, a roster mania that was more about the signings that didn't happen. And so just as an addendum to all of the roster mania, why don't we talk about the moves that we thought would happen that didn't, and whether or not that's going to be a big deal moving forward. So I've got here, this is the HLTV rankings as they currently stand. Now, look, obviously, Vitality were not in business for anything. Neither were Furia. Why would they be? Resurrection of Yekindar, Rookie of the Year were Molodoy. Fair enough. We touched upon it briefly. Falcons not making a signing is criminal. It's criminal. You're the org that can make the signing and money doesn't matter. And you're not going to go out and do that when it's clear you need it. They played in three finals, apart from the one they won in Bucharest. They played in three of the finals, I think, that year, and they didn't win any of them. And that says to me, you're this close. It really is one more superstar. They didn't even have to get a superstar. They just got to upgrade Tezzers. I mean, we can have the kicksand conversation at the end of this season in 6 months' time, but ultimately, it's mad that they didn't make a signing. They could have definitely had Jimmy. It's not like Mouse aren't going to sell. So, whatever. FaZe, this is the other one. Brokey, he can't keep getting away with it, guys. Like, he fucking can't. It is crazy. Yeah, Wicked. He played well at the playoffs. He was criminal before the playoffs. He leveled up over the course of the major. Dog shit again today as they lost to Eyeballers. When's it going to be over? Like, you're getting smoked by JW in 2026. Please stop this. It's got to end. Brokey has to fucking go somewhere else. You can't just wait for the next... You can't just wait for fucking the major to roll around. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And again, options. I put it this way. Even if they could, like, do some loan deal for Senzu and put him on the AWP, because remember, he's open to it. Just do that. Just do anything at this point. please just do anything. Just take an AWPer. Obviously, Mongols, they made their signings. What could they do? This is the other big one. Na'Vi. No changes in Na'Vi. Going into the major, everyone was saying they don't do well at the major. They've got to make changes. They did. They did well at the major, you know. Got right up there. They should probably still make changes. I don't know who you're going to cut. It probably, conceivably, has to be Bit. You sell Bit to Falcons. You make some money. You go out and you get PR. Or Frozen. There was a weird rumour that went around. It wasn't really a rumour. Just some shithouse account just started spamming Alexi B was going to go. And that they were going to bring in... Who was it was going to replace him as IGL? It was something cringe. But anyway, like, Frozen is definitely a good fit for Na'Vi. So you go and you get him, right? Senzu could fit in at Na'Vi. So you could go and get him. PR is right there in Game of Legion. How did PR not get signed by anyone? Like, this Rostermania, how did they get through all of that? Also, Sun Pius just keeps his job, I guess. We're just going to pretend that's all right. Okay, well, fair enough. And obviously, it's another Joker Steve masterclass, isn't it? Liquid not making a roster change is insane. They're going to go into another season with Ultimate. Are we being fucking serious? Now, maybe it's not going to be the case. Liquid is sitting out PGL. Ooh, what a surprise. We get Vitality. We get Na'Vi. But we don't get we don't get Team Liquid and Spirit. Strange. Really makes you think. Like, this is crazy, guys. What's happening at Liquid? The money can't run out. You have literally debased yourself at the altar of Saudi Arabian cash, like almost no one else. You proselytize for ESL. You hustle other tournament organizers down. You're being paid appearance fees, which was the wet dream Liquid had years and years ago. You're in there deep with the EWC, even though your co-CEO is a gay man, an openly gay man who came out for Saudi. And you're not going to spend any of the money. And you're going to take Ultimate. You're going to take Ultimate into another season. Shuhei's career might be over by the end of this year. He did it. He sipped from that cup at the end of fucking Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He chose poorly, mate. He joined Liquid. What the fuck is going on? And as I said here, PR, just no one wanted him apparently. Wasn't even talked about. What a crazy, crazy bunch of misses. So, I mean, there were a ton of roster moves that could have happened, didn't. And there were a ton of signings that we expected to see. Like, I genuinely thought Frozen to Na'Vi was on the cards. And I think that's, like, the natural one. I don't even care if he replaces him or a bit or anybody. Like, I just think that's such a good fit for them and a good fit for him. But whatever. Anyway, there you go. We got through a Rostermania. There was only one Overwatch fart noise. Lots of thumbs downs. And really, not that very exciting at all. But that's that. They can't all be winners. And now we're into the next season of Counter-Strike, where you can bet your bottom dollar. I will be covering it right here on this channel. Make sure you stick around and see what happens next.